take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Brooke Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Melville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the show. It is Thursday, June 26th, 2014, and it's got to be show number 420. That's right, 420 episodes of the Independent Russ Melville Show on 420radio.org. We made it, folks, and we got a very special show for you today. Before I tell you all about it, though, let's go out to our beautiful assistant out there in Colorado, our news anchor, Priscilla Seibin. How you doing, Priscilla? I can hear you. I think we got a little crisp on the mic there. Maybe we have to get you a new headset or something like that. But it's good to hear from you. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's kind of muggy, hot, and humid today. I'm being in Texas, but you know, Colorado's great.
All right. Well, we appreciate so much you being a part of 420 Radio, and we've got our vacation coming up, so no show tomorrow, no shows next week. So I hope you have some plans, get to have yourself some fun over the 4th of July weekend. All right. And we just shipped out a camera to Priscilla, and I am working on getting you into the 710 cup. So hopefully in a couple weeks, we will send you out there, get us some interviews and some audio from the 710 cup. I hope you want to do that.
Yeah, definitely look forward to it.
All right. Well, Priscilla, thanks so much for joining us. Although today is a special edition of the Russ Melville Show, we're not going to do our standard news segment today. So you actually get to start your vacation early.
Sweet.
Yay. Yeah. So thanks for calling in, and we will see you in a couple of weeks. But for today's show, rather than do our behind the headlines and our 420 radio news segment, I'm going to be bringing you my presentation that I'll be delivering at the Cannabis Cup on Saturday afternoon, 4:30 p.m. It's entitled The Results of Legalization. And I was up all night last night getting this finished up. I've got all the latest data from 6 months of legalization in Colorado. We're going to use that to debunk all the scaremongering going on out there about legalization. Also on the show today, it's one of those Thursdays where we go to our Cops Say Legalized Drugs segment. That's right, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition's Will Ostage will be joining us. He's a former police officer who has realized that the war on drugs is a failure and we need to end drug prohibition. And then at the end of the show, in the Radical Rant segment, we'll have time to reflect on the last couple of years with 420 Radio, where we're headed for the future, and a look back at 10 years of activism that I've been a part of since moving out here to Oregon. We're looking forward to legalization here in the state of Oregon. New Approach Oregon has turned in 145,000 signatures. So that's looking really good for us to make the ballot. And we've got polls out there showing majority support. So we are really hopeful that we will get legalization passed this year. We hope that Alaska will join us. They're on the ballot. Florida will become a medical marijuana state in November. And of course, Arkansas is still working on getting on the ballot, both for medical and for legalization. We are going to have reporters all across the country in all of the major locales that are having votes on marijuana. Join us for our election night coverage this November. We did it for 2010 with Prop 19. We did it for 2012 with 8 different locations that were voting on marijuana. We're going to do it again this year. So you want to know first who's legalized marijuana? This will be the place to stop. All right. Thanks, everybody. We're going to be right back with the special presentation, The Results of Legalization 2. Thanks for joining us. You're listening to The Russ Melville Show on 420radio.org. It's show number 420. Happy 420. We'll be right back after we pay some bills.
Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with our Shoutcast stream for all internet-enabled media players. Go to rad-r.us/420shout or just click the Shoutcast icon below the live radio feed at 420radio.org. The Marijuana Business Association, or MJBA, are proud sponsors of The Russ Belville Show. It is the mission of the MJBA to establish integrity and legitimacy, create common market standards, provide market intelligence, and develop best ethical business practices for participants in the emerging legal marijuana industry, including commercial hemp, medical marijuana, and recreational marijuana for adults. Learn more about the Marijuana Business Association and visit MJBA.net to join today. That's MJBA.net. Toker Talk Radio, weekdays at 4 and 7 Pacific on 420radio.org. The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, treat law enforcement with respect and stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney." Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com. It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Priscilla Seibin.
Priscilla Seibin has the day off today. I'm Russ Belville with a 420 Radio News special, The Results of Legalization, the Data from Marijuana Legalization in Colorado. This slideshow is available for download at our 420radio.org shop on sale through the end of July for just $4.20. All sources in this PowerPoint are hyperlinked for your research reference. Colorado is legalized marijuana, and we've gotten 6 months worth of legalization information from the storefronts that have been open, and we've gotten 18 months of legalization data from allowing people to possess marijuana with no criminal penalties. Before we went to pass marijuana legalization in 2012, we heard many predictions from the prohibitionists who believe that passing marijuana legalization would lead to all sorts of doom and gloom scenarios. There are many out there, but today we're going to focus on the three major talking points that we heard from the opponents of marijuana legalization. The first of which is that there would be traffic danger. We would suffer many fatalities and DUIDs. If we were to legalize marijuana, we'd have mayhem on the freeways. Another scare tactic that was thrown at us was social costs, that yes, we might raise some tax revenue through the taxation and regulation of marijuana, but it wouldn't be worth all of the social costs and harm that would befall us from the legalization of marijuana. And the third talking point was about the children. What about the children? What kind of message would marijuana legalization send to the children, and it would lead to more kids using and becoming addicted to marijuana? We'll focus on these three talking points and show you how the data show they are just Chicken Little screaming that the sky is falling. Let's see if we can get some audio for this for you real quick before we'll start that again.
The British Medical Journal told us a few months ago that their most comprehensive study they've ever done showed that marijuana intoxication doubles your car crash risk.
Marijuana intoxication doubles your car crash risk, according to Kevin Sabet, the head of Project SAM, which is one of the nation's leading anti-marijuana legalization organizations, supplying talking points to prosecutors and anti-drug crusaders and police agencies all throughout the country. Kevin Sabet was a former right-hand man for the drug czar in both the George W. Bush and Barack Obama administrations. Now, when he talks about this study from the British Medical Journal showing 2 times greater crash risk, it's important to understand that we're talking about sampling the blood of drivers who have been in a fatal car crash and then determining what substances they have in their body. Nothing about that tells us whether or not the person was actually impaired at the time of the car crash, merely that there's more likely that people are going to have marijuana in their blood if they were in a fatal car crash. But another study that was conducted in the Journal of Accident Analysis and Prevention from 2013 also found almost a 2-to-1 crash risk for a marijuana driver. It was actually 1.83-to-1 crash risk compared to a sober driver. But as we look at other substances, we find drivers on narcotics like OxyContin, Vicodin, and Percocet are a 3-to-1 crash risk. Drivers on stimulants like Adderall, Ritalin, and Phentermine are a 3.5-to-1 crash risk. And drivers on depressants like Valium, Klonopin, and Ativan are almost a 5-to-1 crash risk. So it's a little bit scaremongering to have everyone up in arms and worried about marijuana drivers when no one is suggesting testing or setting limits for people on OxyContin, Adderall, or Valium. And of course, we have the alcohol driver who will be found to have a 13.5-to-1 greater crash risk. And anyone who combines alcohol with other drugs will find a 23-to-1 crash risk. This is not to say that people who drive under the influence of marijuana are somehow safer drivers or we should somehow encourage that. It's to try to put this risk in perspective and to show that of all the possible driving risks out there, marijuana is among the lowest. Thanks to marijuana legalization in the state of Colorado, the Colorado Department of Transportation has begun these ad campaigns to inform people not to drive high, that it's against the law to smoke pot and then get behind the wheel. This is the kind of messaging that only legalization can bring to us. We didn't get this kind of messaging when marijuana was illegal. Just as we encourage people to drink responsibly and to not drink and drive, we can encourage people to toke responsibly and not toke and drive under legalization. Now, as far as this crash risk, one of the things that we'll hear a lot from the prohibitionists is how many more people have gotten into crashes or how much more marijuana is figuring into the crashes that happen. But they will always leave out one important point, and that is crashes are going down. Roads have never been safer in this country. This is a look at a graph of traffic fatality rates furnished by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Now, they have data ranging from 1994 to 2011. In the solid blue line, we've given you the rate of deaths per 100 million miles driven for the United States. The solid blue line is the United States average as a whole. As you can see, the green lines representing dark green Colorado and light green Washington have almost always been below the U.S. national average, and both have been below the U.S. national average since 2005. For comparison's sake, I've provided a red dotted line to show you where a prohibition state like Georgia is showing up, closer to the U.S. national average and, since 2005, higher than the U.S. national average. This isn't to say that marijuana legalization in Washington and Colorado has made the roads safer. It is to say that if it made the roads more dangerous, it's not showing up in the traffic fatality rates. If we look at some other statistics from the state of Colorado, we can also see that the supposed traffic mayhem just hasn't panned out. A look at traffic fatalities from the Colorado Department of Transportation shows that in 2012, there were 434 deaths on the road. In 2013, after marijuana had been legalized, there were 424 deaths. 10 fewer deaths. And for anecdotal information, there was a recent traffic stop in Larimer County, Colorado, that was highlighted in Denver's Westward. This happened on Friday, May 9th, during the late night hours, 11 p.m. to 2:30 a.m., and it searched 1,572 vehicles at the checkpoint. Of those over 1,500 vehicles checked, there were only 22 arrests. 20 of those arrests were alcohol DUIs, one was minor in possession of alcohol, one was minor in possession of marijuana, but none of the arrests out of 1,500 vehicles tested on a weekend night was for a marijuana DUI. And when we look at the information from the Colorado state courts on the filing of DUI charges in county courts, we find that it has dropped every year since fiscal year 2009. Where there were over 31,000 DUIs filed in county court in 2009, there were under 25,000 filed in the last 2 years, even with marijuana legalization. And to conclude, the research on stoned driving, so-called stoned driving, in both the United States and the United Kingdom have proven that it is very unlikely to be able to point to marijuana as a huge risk on the roads. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says, quote, "There is little, if any, evidence to indicate that drivers who have used marijuana alone are any more likely to cause serious accidents than drug-free drivers." And Franjo Grotenherman, writing for Drugs and Driving, a review for the National Treatment Agency in the United Kingdom, wrote, quote, "The risk of all drug-positive drivers, that's any drug, compared to drug-free drivers is similar to drivers with a blood alcohol concentration of 0.05. That's, of course, below the legal limit. The risk is also similar to drivers above age 60 compared to younger drivers. So the most stoned driver out there is no worse than someone who's under the legal limit for alcohol or someone who's older than age 60.
Our first volunteer, Addie, is a 27-year-old medical marijuana patient and heavy daily user who had smoked some pot prior to arriving. A blood test before our experiment began showed she came to the track already three times the new legal limit for driving under the influence of marijuana. The limit is 5 nanograms. She was at nearly 16 nanograms. While learning the course, Addie turned too sharp at a stop sign and clipped one of our cameras. But the instructor told us her driving was actually fine.
A driver is actually fine at 5 nanograms, or over three times the 5 nanogram limit that Colorado has set up.
Back behind the wheel for another lap, Addie drove a bit slower than she should and at one point struck a traffic cone.
Oh! I hit a cone. I see it in the rear view mirror. Ah!
A blood test would later show Addie was driving at 7 times the legal limit for pot with 36.7 nanograms of marijuana in her system, but still driving okay.
I wouldn't pull her off the road, though. No, not yet. Not
okay.
Seven times the legal limit, if it were alcohol, would be a 0.56 blood alcohol. I doubt you'd hear the driving instructor saying he wouldn't pull someone off the road at that level.
After 0.9 of a gram, Addie was becoming much more aggressive, excited about being high and behind the wheel.
One time in your life you get to do this,
you should do it.
Yeah.
You should do it!
Yeah.
But she made no major mistakes, and we asked the officer if he would pull her over.
Borderline.
Addy was there at 55, actually it was 56 nanograms, 11 times the legal limit of 5 nanograms, and the sheriff watching her drive said she was borderline. If she were 11 times the legal limit of alcohol, she would be dead.
For every dollar we get on alcohol and tobacco tax in this country, we spend $10 in lost social costs. So people that look at this know this is actually a loss leader.
This is the second scaremongering tactic that is used by Kevin Sabet and the prohibitionists, and that is to try to deflate the hopes for the tax revenue from marijuana by pointing out the true statistic that alcohol and tobacco only bring in $40 billion a year in taxes, but they cost us $400 billion a year in lost revenue, lost productivity, sick time, healthcare costs, etc. Of course, the simple debunk of this is the fact that marijuana is not alcohol. Marijuana is not tobacco. Alcohol and tobacco are toxic and highly addictive. Marijuana is not. But now we actually have some numbers to show that can poke a very good hole in this idea of the tax revenue not being worth it. From January through April of 2013, over that four-month period, recreational taxes brought in $10.8 million into the state tax revenue. Medical sales tax brought in another $9.6 million in state tax revenue. The licensing fees for both medical and recreational shops ran $6.6 million, bringing the total from marijuana legalization and medical marijuana to $27.2 million in just 4 months. And the governor's office is estimating sales for fiscal year 2014, the range starting next month, July of 2014 through June of 2015, could top $1 billion in medical and recreational sales. Now, where is all that tax money going? $40 million will be going to help schools, $45.5 million for youth drug prevention, $40.4 million for drug treatment, $12.4 million for public health, and $3.2 million for law enforcement. So again, Kevin Sabet's point is this all wouldn't be worth it because we'd see so much social cost from the legalization of marijuana. Remember, Kevin Sabet said that for every dollar we bring in alcohol and tobacco, it costs us $10 in social costs. So if that's the comparison, where's the $272 million in social costs in Colorado since January of 2014? As we showed you earlier, DUIs and fatalities have been virtually unchanged. No new social costs there. Denver crime is down 10.1%. No new social costs there. Travel to Denver is up 6.2%. Home values in Denver are up 9.7%. And 1,000 to 2,000 new jobs have been created, mostly in the Denver metropolitan area. Don't see $272 million in social costs there. Now, maybe we should worry about the children. Perhaps it's affecting them. After all, 230 kids were expelled from school for pot in 2013, the number one reason kids get expelled from school. However, there are almost 500,000 kids enrolled in middle school and high school in Colorado. So those kids expelled for pot represent 0.04% of all kids expelled, of all kids enrolled in middle and high school. Marijuana use rates haven't changed. They still remain at about 8% of the population using marijuana regularly, despite the new legalization. So we don't have any new social costs there. And in the 2012 election, it was passed with 55% support. The latest Quinnipiac poll shows that 54% of the people still support marijuana legalization, and 52% of the people say legalization, quote, has been good for Colorado, end quote. And another way that we can see the social costs ending is through the reduction in police caseload. Prior to the passage of Amendment 64, there were, on average, about 800 arrests, or, I'm sorry, about 800 charges for marijuana. Now, that's not just charges for possession of an ounce or less, but all charges. On our graph, the light green represents charges for possession of 2 ounces or less. The dark green represents all other charges on top of that, which would be cultivation, more than 2 ounces, and so forth. It peaked the month before the election at 929 marijuana cases in a month. Since legalization, it has rapidly plummeted to the point where in the past few months for which we have data, arrests are down to 1 to 200 a month. And that's all marijuana crimes, 100 to 200 a month. So even legalizing just an ounce has done wonders to protect other people with marijuana that have more than an ounce or are cultivating, because now the smell and sight of marijuana are no longer probable cause. Estimates on how much we are saving thanks to this reduction in police caseload range from $12 to $40 million annually. Now, maybe the police can spend their time working on solving all the unsolved crimes. In the left column, a look at property crimes and homicide or violent crimes shows us that far fewer than 100% of the crimes are actually cleared. Only 62.5% of homicides are cleared. Only 40% of forcible rapes. Only 12% of burglaries. Only 20% of arsons. There is plenty still left for cops to do if they're not rounding up marijuana smokers. And remember, for all 658,000 of the national arrests for marijuana possession, it takes about 2 hours of cop time per arrest. Meanwhile, there are 100,000 untested rape kits sitting on police evidence shelf lockers right now because the marijuana tests have to be done first since they're going straight to criminal trial. And one of the effects of this marijuana prohibition is that we have now a militarization of our police forces, over 100 SWAT raids per day, with 62% of those SWAT raids being issued for drug warrants. When they go to a drug warrant raid, 65% of the time they break the door down, but only one third of the time do they find guns or drugs that they thought would be there. And of course, these SWAT raids are more than twice as likely to happen if you're a minority.
We know that one out of every six kids that try marijuana will become addicted to it, okay? That's not six out of six, but that's probably something and plenty to worry about.
This is the old, what about the children that we always hear from the prohibitionists. And in this case, it's a pretty easy one to debunk now that we have some more information on this. First of all, when they say one out of six kids get addicted, addicted means becomes a regular adult marijuana user. The statistics show that about 4.4 million teens have tried marijuana. If we count up all the adults who have ever tried marijuana, there are 60 million adults who tried it before they were age 18. So if kids trying marijuana, if one out of six of them get addicted and 60 million tried it before they were 18, that means there should be 10 million addicts out there, 10 million marijuana addicts. To get 10 million marijuana smokers, according to the statistics, you have to include everyone who has used marijuana four times a month or more. That's right. If you smoke one joint on the weekend, you're a marijuana addict. And what we know about the market for marijuana now is that it hurts kids much more than does the legal market. 44% of kids know another kid at school who deals drugs. And on the menu, 91% of the time is marijuana, but only 6% of the time can they get cigarettes, and only 1% of the time can they get alcohol, because there's no profit in dealing those legal substances. And just yesterday was broken a report of a sting operation that was conducted in Colorado attempting to have underage people buy marijuana in the pot shops, and not one successful purchase of marijuana from a recreational store. Not one minor was able to buy pot from a Colorado pot store. And part of the reason why is because regulation is what controls child access to drugs. This is a graph that shows us in yellow alcohol use by 12th graders. Has a 12th grader ever tried alcohol? In black, has a 12th grader ever tried tobacco? And in green, has a 12th grader ever tried marijuana? And this graph ranges from 1975 all the way up to 2012. Now, I graduated high school in 1985, and during that time, 9 out of 10 of my schoolmates had tried alcohol, 92%. Almost 7 out of 10, 68.8%, had tried tobacco. And over half, 54%, had tried marijuana, although I wasn't one of them. Those numbers had been higher. It was 93% for alcohol in 1980. It was 75% for tobacco in 1977 and 60% for marijuana in 1979. Those figures for school kids graduating in 2012, we've gone down from 90% to 70% for alcohol. We've gone down from 70% to 40% for tobacco. And we've gone down from 54% to 45% for marijuana. The things that caused this to change weren't arresting people. With alcohol, it was when Ronald Reagan blackmailed the states to adopt a nationwide 21 drinking age. As soon as that 21 drinking age went into effect, we saw high school senior use plummet. With tobacco, it was the 1998 Big Tobacco lawsuit that the federal government won that forced the big tobacco companies to get rid of Joe Camel and make other ad restrictions and put the smokes behind counters and lock them up and take away cigarette vending machines and other ways kids could get at cigarettes. And we see a rapid plummet from 65% to 39% in 12th grade tobacco use. And when it comes to marijuana, Ronald Reagan adopted the Just Say No in 1981, but marijuana arrests actually went down during the Reagan administration. There was a steep drop in marijuana, not a steep drop, but there was a drop from about 400,000 to about 380,000 a year. And as we see marijuana arrests remaining steady, we see marijuana use among 12th graders actually dropping. During the election of Bill Clinton, though, once Clinton was in office, he doubled the amount of marijuana arrests while he was in office. And we saw marijuana use by 12th graders skyrocket. In 1996, the medical marijuana era begins. We begin regulating marijuana and telling the truth about marijuana, and we see the youth use rate kind of flatten out. Now, it has gone up slightly over the past couple of years. We'd like to see that going down again. But there is certainly no reason why we need to arrest adults to change teen behavior. That's the results of legalization, the data from marijuana legalization in Colorado. Again, this slideshow will be available for download at the 420 Radio shop. And the first 20 downloads who use the promo code HTSFCUP for High Time San Francisco Cup can download this presentation absolutely free. It will just be $4.20 throughout the rest of this month and July. All right, thanks for joining us. That's our special on the results of legalization. I'll be presenting that at the High Times Cannabis Cup on Saturday in Santa Rosa. It'll be 4:30 p.m. I hope I see some of you there. When we come back, cops say legalize drugs. Stick around.
To the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the Ustream video app for Android and iPhone. Go to rad-r.us/420Ustream or just click the Ustream app icon for Android or iPhone below the live radio feed at 420radio.org. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you. When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, firedublawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email firedublawyer@gmail.com.
One of the most disturbing elements of the Prohibition War is how it's made police the enemy of otherwise law-abiding cannabis consumers. Fortunately, one group of police officers knows the futility of Prohibition and reaches out to educate the community and current law enforcement. Today, the Russ Belville Show visits with another speaker from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition with one clear message. Cops say legalize drugs.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is 36 after the hour. Time for Cops Say Legalize Drugs, brought to you by Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. You can find out more about LEAP at leap.cc. Good friends out there, and I'm sure we'll see many of them at the Cannabis Cup this weekend in Santa Rosa, California. We are speaking today with Will Ostoy, but I'm afraid we're not getting him on the line, so we'll try one more time here. Will Ostoy is a former police officer with the Olmsted County Sheriff's Office in Minnesota. He was a specialist in getting people pulled over and being able to get them to surrender their rights and allow him to search for marijuana. So we're hoping to get Will on the line here so that we can talk to him about that, get some of his wisdom, something that we can learn from perhaps as cannabis consumers. Law Enforcement Against Prohibition is one of our biggest supporters, and we encourage all of you to donate and join them today. You don't have to be a law enforcement officer to join. You do have to be a former law enforcement prosecutor or prison guard to be a speaker for Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. Law Enforcement Against Prohibition is also available for Speakers Bureau. You can get them to come out to your local event, your city council, whoever it is you need to have them talk to, state legislature. They've got speakers all across the country. And if you would like to book one for your area or your event, you can just go to leap.cc. And up along the top, there should be a choice for book a speaker. And I'm afraid we're just not able to get Will on the line today. He may have just lost track of the fact that we're going to have an interview today. So we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll have time for some radical rant.
Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio is 24-hour marijuana legalization radio. I'm Radical Russ Belville, and I want to thank you for listening to 420 Radio. We couldn't survive without you and our sponsors, and I'd like you to check out one of our prime sponsors, the National Cannabis Coalition. I've been working with NCC since June of 2012, and I'm proud to be part of the team they have assembled. National Cannabis Coalition is building the partnerships with reformers, lawmakers, and industry we need to be successful. Visit the National Cannabis Coalition website at nationalcannabiscoalition.com or the easier-to-remember NCC420.com. That's where you'll get the exclusive first look at my radical rants, as well as informative articles from the nation's top cannabis pundits. Visit NCC420.com today, and if you have your phone handy, text Russ to 420-420 to support NCC and 420 Radio. It's a free text message that helps us help you end adult marijuana prohibition. Learn more at NCC420.com, and thanks for supporting independent marijuana legalization public radio. In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
Kid, I really want to let kids know that illegal drugs are bad news.
Yes, David, it's true. Over 100,000 teenagers were admitted into hospitals last year because of drugs.
Yeah, but I'm talking about kids' futures. Did you know that marijuana can affect a person's physical and sexual growth?
Yes, that's quite accurate. In a laboratory test, female animals treated with the active component in marijuana experienced a 44% death rate among their offspring.
This is much more important than facts and figures. What kids should know is that marijuana has got more cancer-causing agents than tobacco. And a lot of young kids use drugs on a daily basis.
Actually, Michael, the fact is that 1 in 18 high school seniors smokes marijuana daily. And then there are the occasional users which account
Get
for...
Get this through your CPU. They don't care about statistics.
You know, you're right. I've got it. Just tell them illegal drugs are bad, so don't mess with them.
Illegal drugs are bad news.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org. When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
Handle the truth.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
You have offended my family.
Hey, this is great, man.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
I know nothing.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
We don't need no stinking budget.
Homosexuality.
Down the centuries, you have slurred the meaning of the words "we, the people."
Be warned, this is not your mother's marijuana.
You could ask yourself a question: do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
All right, welcome back, everybody. 43 after the hour, and just having a little fun here for the Radical Rant. Nothing to be ranty about today. I just want to celebrate because today is show number 420 of the independent Russ Belville Show on 420 Radio. As you can see in the video window, we are showing some of our the video from our very first Russ Belville Show. This is Russ Belville Show number one, June 4th, 2012. As you can tell, it wasn't even 420 Radio yet. It was Potnet.us. We were Potnet and then National Cannabis Radio and then 420 Radio. And of course, before that, we were Normal Show Live. We were part of the Normal Network where I worked from 2008 to 2012. Before the Normal Network, it wasn't even a network. It was just a podcast known as the Normal Daily Audio Stash. And that was created by Chris Goldstein back in 2006. I took it over in 2008 when he had to leave his activism for a while, and just evolved it from a podcast into a live show, into a live network, and now what it is today, 420 Radio, 24-hour network. Let's check out some of the earlier, the very first episode here on that what was Potnet.us.
But welcome to the show. So glad to have you here. We have got a great show to start, to debut for you today on June 4th, 2012. It's just got to be 420 somewhere in the world, and we're really excited for everyone to be here. First First of all, let's welcome from our virtual studio in beautiful Grastoria, Oregon, our own senior news editor, Cannabis Carrie.
Hello. Nice. I love the intro. Sounded vaguely familiar. I'm very happy with that.
There's going to be a lot of familiar things for people here that are were used to my previous show. Not a whole lot of changes. One change, we're going to switch up the news just a little bit. We're going to give you all the headlines right back to back, and then we're going to talk about them afterwards. So Carrie takes care of that in what's now called the Daily Cannabis Chronicle. What's in our headlines today, Carrie?
Well, today in our headlines, we're going to talk about some big news that broke while we were on break for a little while. We're going to talk about the political race down in Texas that made a lot of headline news. Also, we're going to talk about New York and what they've done with their decrim law. And also, we've got our newest state was signed in to legislation that made it the 17th medical marijuana state. We're going to talk about that first up on the Daily Cannabis Chronicle.
All right. That's fantastic news to start our show with. I'm so happy about that. Also joining us here in the studio, we've got the pirate Ganja John hanging out here.
What's up, Russ? I missed you, buddy.
I missed you too. Did you, anything interesting happen these 3 weeks for you?
Yeah.
Me too.
A lot of things.
We'll talk about that at the end of the show. Also, we got Wiz Calico hanging out here in the studio. How are you doing, Calico?
Hey, quite well. Aloha, everybody. Glad to be back.
Trying to reset all the levels here. Some of the levels are off.
We will get that worked out.
But we'll get it all worked out. And Calico, you've been hard at work trying to get marijuana legalized, I understand?
As always, my friend. And we're going to do it in November. And we're going to be there on the Russ Belville Show to cover it.
All right. Also, we've got Brian the Red, our engineer, is here in the studio today.
Howdy, howdy.
With the Pink Leaf Project as well. So glad to see you here. So everyone, stay tuned. We got a great show coming up for you today. First off, we're going to be having our... Daily Cannabis Chronicle. I have to remember to say.
So there you go. That's a little bit of a look at our first show from a couple of years ago. So many more people in the room during those shows. Back when we had Cannabis Carrie and Ganja John and Wiz Calico, Brian the Red, everybody hanging out in the studio. They've all moved on. They've had to, you know, get jobs and go to work. And I've been working hard here trying to turn this into enough of a moneymaker that we can bring them back. It'd be really nice to be able to pay these guys and have them on the show again. And I got to figure out how it is Cannabis Carrie was able to get such a crystal clear line. And we can't get the same for Priscilla. We got to work that out. We'll figure that out. Gothic Prophet makes a good point in the chat room that we went from 17 medical marijuana states to 23 medical marijuana states during the course of our 2 hours here on the Russ Belville Show. So that's pretty amazing. We are headed out to the Cannabis Cup coming up this weekend, and I've got more stuff that I've got to put together for the cup. We've got a brand new monitor, a 32-inch monitor that we're going to be using at the booth. Got a whole bunch of board stuff and posters and pins, and Herb Thrasher's coming along with us for the first time. Herb's going to bring along some lighter leashes and some patches and I believe some Frisbee golf discs. So we'll have all sorts of really cool stuff at the 420 Radio booth this time. And we're going to be doing our 420 Radio drug quiz. And you could win some of these things. You could win Russ Belville Show pins, posters, stickers, and so forth just by playing the game. You just have to collect an ounce before the man collects an ounce. So we will have fun with that. We're going to be filming all this weekend and bringing you the videos from the weekend when we get back. So I sure hope you enjoy those next week, because we won't have any shows next week. It's our regular July vacation, 4th of July week. We take a week off, but I will play the Cannabis Cup videos for you, all the interviews and such that we do, so that you can have something to watch while we're gone. We should have a lot of great stuff. Mo is performing. Herb Thrasher is going to bring along the video recording gear to get some great rock from Mo. And we hope to get Herb backstage where he can talk to the guys in the band. We've also got a word from Cavi Gold Records, which is another Herb Thrasher partner, one of the record labels out there, that might get us. Well, I can't tell you. I can't tell you, but it might be a really, really cool in that we might end up having on Friday night. In fact, we're going to try to do a live Herb Thrasher Flower Hour from Santa Rosa, California. Try to get guys like Bobby Black and Danny Danko on the show to talk about the Cannabis Cup. So join us tomorrow night. We won't have a live day show tomorrow. We will have a live night show tomorrow. All right. So, yeah, it's been 2 years, and I gotta say, it's been quite an adventure. I didn't think we'd make it past 20 shows, much less 420 shows. At the time that this show began independently, it was one of the lowest points in my life. You know, I had gone from the highest point in my life to 2 months, 2 months later going to the lowest point in my life. In March, toward the end of March, I was at the Baker Institute debating Kevin Sabet. And I think that was the high point of my activism with Normal. It was like the most exposure. It's still the most popular video at the Baker Institute. It's been seen over 25,000 times. And I just felt like, wow, things are really happening. I'm starting to hit at a national level here. I'm debating a national level guy. Things are going great. And I was building up the Normal show live and the Normal network. And I really had this vision that, you know, Normal ought to be, you know, a public radio source or a public media source for all of these activists in these local areas. You know, they shouldn't all have to try to make a podcast or all try to make a video show. They should all contribute to Normal. And then we could spread that message and use it for recruiting. Unfortunately, there was a disagreement between me and the executive on that point. I really thought that, you know, with legalization happening, the next logical move for Normal would be to be the media of it, to be the chronicle of this legalization. And you know, he didn't agree. So it was left to me to have to fundraise on my own if we wanted to do any coverage, if we wanted to go to a Cannabis Cup or wanted to go to a conference or something. So I did. I began fundraising and raising money dedicated to taking the Normal Show Live crew to these various events. And it raised my first fundraising effort was a hot wings eating contest where, you know, I got people to pledge me per wing. And I ended up raising something like $1,600 for Normal Show Live. And the next one was a GoFundMe pitch where I asked people to donate, trying to raise $4,200 for our travel expenses. And we raised about $3,500 of it. We spent about $1,700 going to the LA Cup in February. And then when it came time in June of 2012, it was getting ready for the June 2012 San Francisco Cup. That was when I was informed that the money that I had fundraised was no longer there, that the executive had used it to pay other bills. And I was pretty mad about that because, you know, I had promised all of my listeners that what they were donating for was to get coverage of all these events. And without any money to go to the event, I felt like I would have been a fraud and a liar. Unfortunately, I didn't react to it the best way. I should have taken it privately. I should have gone to the board. There are all sorts of things I should have done, but instead I made it public. I brought it out, ranted about it like I rant about other things, and that got me fired, you know, and rightfully so. It'd be like if Brian Williams showed up on the NBC News and started trashing NBC Universal, right? You know, he's probably going to get fired. So I got fired at the end of May. It was actually May 12th, May 13th, 14th, something like that was when it happened. And then a week later, I was fired. And I was devastated. It was like my lowest point ever because I didn't know this was a job. I didn't know there was such a thing as a marijuana broadcaster who can study, research, read, write, analyze, smoke, and travel about marijuana. Oh, but I eat 25 wings, by the way. Somebody in the chat room was asking. Yeah, 25 wings. But, you know, so this was devastating to me because I had gone from my highest high to my lowest low. And I didn't know what to do. All I knew is that I wanted to keep doing what I was doing. Is that I felt that, I hate to sound, you know, religious, but like it's a calling. Like everything that had happened in my life had trained me, and all the talents that I had prepared me to be the best marijuana broadcaster possible. That's my belief. I don't believe I'm much good at anything else or much destined for anything else, but this feels like my destiny. So at the end of May 2012, I was desperate. I had no idea how I was going to continue, but I just knew that I wanted to. And I remembered the words of an old drummer friend of mine back from my days playing music professionally. His name was Lawson Hill. And Lawson once said, if you ain't appearing, you're disappearing. Now, what that was in context about was the fact that I had pointed out how many gigs he had. Like, God, Lawson, you play with this band, you play with that band, you play with this band. You're always playing. You know, why are you so busy? And he said, because if you ain't appearing, you're disappearing. And the point was that as a musician, as a performer, you have to have a gig. If you don't have a gig, you're not a musician. You might be a guy who knows how to play a musical instrument. But if you don't have a gig, you ain't a musician. And I took that philosophy with this show and just said, you know what? I'll just keep doing the show. I don't know how I'm going to make any money at it. I don't know how who's going to pay me. I don't know how that works. But I do know how to put a show together. And I do know how to be consistent about it. And that's what I want to do. So June 4th, we started with the Russ Belville show on what then was called Potnet, Prohibition Opposition Television Network, potnet.us. And soon enough, it started generating interest from some activist folks out here on the coast that know me, who started donating and started pledging to, you know, help me out. And without their help, I couldn't have made it that first couple of months. And after the first couple of months went by, started finding some more sponsors and advertisers, came up with a subscription idea. People could subscribe and, you know, make it like public radio. And that's really where the nonprofit public radio part started to evolve for me, was that, you know, this isn't just about me. This is about us. This is about a network. This is about all our voices. I started reaching out to other podcasters and, you know, I could replay their shows. And other friends of mine, they could put on their own shows. And we could talk about this. And there could always be a place to go where people could feel like they're around like-minded people, whether you're sitting in a basement in Missouri, or, you know, smoking in your garage in Texas, or running a dispensary in Colorado, that we could all learn from each other. We could all talk to each other. We could all motivate and support each other in this fight that we're in this war. I've often said, like, if you know the movie, The Warriors, warriors come out and play. Yay. That, remember the DJ who kind of narrated for all of the gangs chasing after the warriors? That's kind of what I felt like. That's what I feel like. It's like, you guys are the actors out there. You guys are really doing the hard work. I'm the cheerleader. I'm the one who's kind of just trying to organize and broadcast and promote all of that. And through this, I've been able to meet some amazing people and had some amazing opportunities. But even when I meet people like, you know, Tommy Chong or Gary Johnson or Sir Richard Branson, they don't compare to like the real people. Those of you out there who are the regular listeners every day, people whose names I see in the chat room, some of you I've never even met in person, but who are as real to me as anybody that I know. And it reminds me that this show is important to a lot of people that look to it for comfort and companionship and solace. And I'll always keep dear to my heart those listeners who listened until their dying day, literally. You know, Steve Veteran and Stereotype and Grey Wolf, and Katie's Paw, Big Jim. Unfortunately, too many people. This here, by the way, is Grey Wolf. Grey Wolf was cremated and a packet of his ashes were delivered here to 420 Radio for us to be part of spreading his ashes. And we will do something. I haven't decided what yet, but we're definitely going to have some sort of celebration of the life of Grey Wolf. But that's all the time we've got for today, folks. Gonna call it a day. We got to get ready for the Cannabis Cup, so unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to do hour two. A run behind schedule, and I've got 2 hours before Herb shows up, and we got to start driving out of here. Want to make sure that we have as good a cup as possible, so I've got to take some time, pack my clothes, pack the gear. So no hour two today. We'll just go to a replay. And we'll see you next 2 weeks. We'll see you July 7th will be our next live show. We'll have coverage from the Cannabis Cup all next week. For Priscilla Sybin, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. We love each and every one of you. Sorry for no Toker Talk Radio. I've got to get this stuff done, folks. I'm running out of time. We love you. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers, and happy 420!
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it.